Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Medical school student Philip Markoff triggered nationwide concern in 2009 after he murdered a young prostitute he had contacted through Craigslist. In 2011, a 52-year-old man and his teenage accomplice lured four men to Southeast Ohio with the promise of a job and a place to live. Three of them wound up dead. The fourth escaped. And most recently, a Pennsylvania woman is charged with the murder of a man she and her husband met through Craigslist. Craigslist and other unmonitored internet advertising sites have become criminal tools, inspiring many law enforcement agencies to create their own internet safety unit. Coming up, we'll hear from the FBI about its work in internet crime fighting and also from the author of a book about how to use Craigslist safely. Joining us now is Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is internet crime like this a problem in Franklin County?
We have like smatterings of them here and there, and you know, as not every day, obviously. So, at times we do. We have several different types of internet crime situations, not just Craigslist, but identity thefts, and then we have the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force, which are I've never seen a task force be so busy. They're usually doing like two search warrants a week in reference to arresting individuals that are pretty much predators and trying to make contact with our kids. So we have a lot of different areas that we're working in reference to the internet.
How has internet crime changed what your office does?
Well, we have to be more technology-driven, and you have to stay up with technology. If you don't, the odds of being able to solve some of these crimes gets reduced dramatically. So, like I said, we have to stay up with technology. Some of these technology is so advanced that, for instance, we just had a situation the other day where individuals were calling people on the phone and telling them they were law enforcement that they had to give money or they're going to go to jail because they missed jury duty. And we found out the calls were coming from Georgia as best we could find as we relayed, you know, as we traced it back. It was actually out of the state of Georgia, not country, but state.
Mm-hmm. How much of the internet crime that you're familiar with and that you work with is targeted at people?
The kids are the most targeted and the elder. That seems to be the ones who are actually specifically targeted, those two groups of people, kids and elderly.
And you said the Children's Task Force is putting out a couple warrants a week now?
They are, unfortunately, so busy. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable of the pornography and the individuals that are trying to contact our children to meet with them, to actually engage in sex. There's chat rooms out there to where they actually have groups of people that want to exchange their children for sex. It's I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And no matter how many warnings we put out or tell people that we're monitoring these different websites that are actually engaged in this activity, it just still continues.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Zach Scott, Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott. We're talking about internet crime and what his office is doing to stem the tide. If you have a question or comment, we've been talking specifically as well about Craigslist and those kinds of online, unmonitored advertising websites. If you're wondering if you use a website like that, if you do you feel safe? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. From what we can tell, Sheriff, law enforcement jurisdiction on the internet is unclear. How do you interpret your job in that area? How do you define your jurisdiction?
Well, I guess if someone actually makes contact with one of our people in the, and we know it's a crime and it starts, say, within our jurisdiction, we would take it from there. If not, we'd have to ship it up to the FBI if we can't determine location, depending on what type of crime it is. You know, with the Craigslist situations, what I found out is I talked to a lot of people who use Craigslist, and the number one problem with people using Craigslist is they don't go through Craigslist. These individuals, like, will put something out there. Someone will directly contact them through email, and that's the number one thing you should not be doing. You should be looking to go through Craigslist. Don't make contact with these people individually, but they do because they get an email, and then that's when their problems actually start.
So what you're saying is it doesn't start with Craigslist often? Or
no,
it does, or that's the first, they give their email address, and then...
They give their email address out, and then they start corresponding with individuals without going through Craigslist. That's what causes some of the problems. And, of course, you know, if you have a situation where they have your email, they can, and if you, you know, if you trick people by saying, well, just give me your account number and I'll send you the money, then they have your email and account number. What they end up doing then is once they got the account number, all they have to do is show that they have your email, and then they say, hey, I lost my password. Then they get into your accounts. Then they get into knowing, you know, obviously once they get into your accounts, it's a mess from that point on. They change passwords. So one of the problems, like I said, is people are responding to individuals who are sending emails back and forth. The last thing you want to do is let someone have your email address. Go through Craigslist. Let them be the ones that handle all the stuff so no one knows who they're actually dealing with, and then pay through Craigslist. So yeah, I guess I don't want to say it like, but if you kind of like follow the Craigslist rules, then you reduce your chances of becoming a victim. Obviously, if someone is scamming, I mean, as far as not having something and trying to get your money, it's easier to go through Craigslist to prevent that from happening too. So there's just a lot of things that you could prevent from happening if you just don't get involved with the people who are sending you emails.
There was just another letter to the editor in the paper this morning. It's something that's being discussed all the time, especially when we have these big events in Columbus, and that's a human trafficking problem. How much of an uptick do you see when there are these big events, and how much do you go to the Craigslist type of internet sites to look for it?
We have, unfortunately, we have limited resources in that area, but we have recently got on board with the Ohio Organized Crime Bureau and the Franklin County Sheriff's Office, along with the City of Columbus, have started a task force, and we're getting much more involved than we have been in the past. And so you're right. When we have a large events like this, it does go up as far as individuals are saying that they're going up and people are talking about it. So as far as having, I guess, all of our ducks in a row to make sure that we're making inroads to actually start arresting these people, it's new here in Central Ohio as far as the task force. So I've been meeting with them, and my upper management, senior staff has been meeting with them, and we're getting ready to start addressing that problem pretty hard here in a very, very near future.
How do you coordinate with other jurisdictions? I know if it's interstate, then the FBI gets involved, but inside the state of Ohio, is the task force where you go?
Well, we're just actually here, Franklin County Task Force. Mm-hmm. What I end up doing is with the city officers, I then deputize them, and then they become part of they have my jurisdictional authority. So we work pretty much here in Franklin County, but if we have something that's going from county to county, then we would get involved with the state, and if it was going state to state, then we would get involved with the FBI.
What other sites are criminals using to find their victims? Craigslist is the most well-known, of course, but what other sites do you look at?
Right now, it's just mostly Craigslist.
Okay.
Now, there's websites for the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force that is being monitored also. So as far as the human trafficking and things of that nature, we don't have the resources that, that like we have for these other websites, unfortunately. Crimes occur, and then we have to address them at that point. So it's still a new, I guess, with technology evolving all the time, it's still for us to try to catch up, like with all technology, but we are in the process of doing that.
Chris in Columbus, you're on the air with Sheriff Zach Scott. Hi, Chris.
Hey, yeah, like this is really resonating with me today. Thank you guys so much for talking about this. And I think it's like really important that we all talk about it, because like I have a story that's not related to crime, but like I just bought a like 75 Gremlin, and it was, you know, all the images of it were like, you know, yeah, it's in great shape, no rust on the body. Show up to buy it, and it's like a little bit more beat up than it had looked. And, you know, like videos of it online starting up fine, everything's good, you know, and it's kind of sat dead for about a month, you know, just waiting to get, you know, like a new engine, all new wiring and stuff. And, you know, just like no crime was really committed. And I think there's a lot of things like that where, you know, people are selling people things online that aren't what they say they are. And people are providing services that like aren't what they say they are. And it's like, I don't know, like con men and, you know, like just untrustworthy people now have like a central hub to sort of meet and, you know, claim victims that are, you know, either desperate for like, you know, a cheap car or, you know, cheap services or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really interesting that like culturally we've kind of, you know, not had to protect ourselves against each other, like online in this way. You know, whereas before, like, I don't know, I feel like there was a time where if you saw, like, an ad online, you could pretty well trust somebody because, like, oh, well, they actually took the time to put their ad online. They must be, you know, doing something right or, you know.
Sheriff Scott?
No, I totally agree with him. It's sad what we've kind of evolved to right now. But I guess the buyer beware is that statement is has never been more, I guess, true than today's situation with technology moving it forward. We have a lot of people who talk about, you know, they're going to buy the different items, like you said, and sometimes they don't even have the items, or the items are pictures of not the true item, but of other items that they're trying to sell. So it's a constant, you know, buyer beware. You got to watch what you're doing. And like I said, one of the ways to prevent yourself from being a victim of one of these situations is always go through Craigslist procedures. That way it cuts down on your chances of being a crime victim. But in your case, obviously this is one of those things where you had to do the whole buyer beware, look at it and go, this is not what I thought I was getting, and try to move away from it. So,
say, Chris, did you go through Craigslist all the way?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, like I went and I saw it in person, and, you know, everything ran well enough. And, like, it was, you know, it was kind of a dream find in the sense still that, like, you know, the body's really good to work with and everything. It's just it needs a lot of restoration work. And, you know, the guy had said that it was a daily driver. And just nice. After 1 week of realizing that the ignition had been, like, wired in such a way that, yeah. You know, it could have been a spider web or something. You know, like, it just, yeah, everything was everywhere.
Well,
so,
did you actually buy it?
Yeah, I did end up buying it. It's sitting okay. in my driveway, and I'm looking forward to having it eventually. So, like, it's not a loss necessarily for me, but it's one of those things where it's been a frustration.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, good luck, Chris.
Hey,
good luck with that gremlin. Thanks for the call. Do you find, Sheriff Scott, that some people are less forthcoming than Chris? They're embarrassed, or particularly older people who are embarrassed by the scams they've been taken in?
Yeah, that is always a problem. People don't want to seem silly or not very intelligent, so they are reluctant to come forth when they've been scammed. So that is always a problem. Under, you know, Chris's situation, he wasn't scammed. Apparently he looked at it and made a decision to go forth with it. So and sounds like once he gets a little money invested in it, he's going to be happy on his decision. So, but obviously he was disappointed when he got there. So, yeah, but I do agree that many times people are a little embarrassed to come forth and give us the information so that way we can make warnings to other people. You're right.
My guest is Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott. He's going to be with us for the next segment as we continue our conversation about internet crime, internet advertising sites. Are you using Craigslist? Have you before? If so, have you felt safe? Do you feel safe? Give us a call and tell us your story, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. There's no denying Americans love Craigslist. A recent study says that 50 million Americans use Craigslist every year. They find jobs, they find cars, they find homes, and they find a place to advertise themselves there. But there's a downside. What if that dream job turns into a nightmare? What if that opportunity turns into a scam, and how do you tell the difference? Still with us is Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott, and joining us now is blogger and author of Finding a Job Using Craigslist, Your Guide to Safe and Effective Job Search on Craigslist, Susan Joyce. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to join you.
And people out there listening, if you use Craigslist, give us a call and tell us how you do so safely. 614-292-8513. Susan, part of what you write about are the dangers. What are the main risks that you've seen out there in your research?
The main risks I've seen are people who get kind of sucked into situations where it's not a real job. What's really going on is somebody's doing data collecting, or they're trying to get access to a bank account or a social security number, those kinds of things that aren't really jobs at all. They're masquerading as, you know, paperwork before we hire you, or there is a kind of a famous one, the the payment scam where people offer to, for some reason, the international banking system doesn't work for them, and they need someone inside the United States to accept payment.
Oh, yeah.
And then pass forward.
That's my best friend. My new best friend. It's very, very common, but it still must work or people wouldn't keep doing it.
That's what it seems. And I know Craigslist seems to try to help stop things. They've installed this this two-relay email account that the sheriff was mentioning, where you don't deal directly with the person, so you protect your email account. But still, they're after data. And if someone is in a job search, I think people in a job search tend to sort of think, well, yeah, that looks a little shady, but I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they take a chance.
I think we're back to, if it looks too good to be real, it probably is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The jobs that pay a whole lot of money, you know, $5,000 a week, and you don't need an education, and you don't need a car, you just need to be over 18 and have access to the Internet.
Mm. Yeah. Right, right. Daniel in Old Town, you're on the air. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I had a question about why isn't there more, I guess, preemptive work being done for, you know, to catch scammers? Like, you have kind of like a general construct for ads in Craigslist, and like, not a lot of people will kind of preemptively go after them. Like, you already know that this is kind of going to be a scam, but law enforcement kind of just lets the stuff keep going.
Sheriff Scott?
Well, unfortunately, I've seen Minority Report, the movie, and it's a pretty good movie. But unfortunately, the way the law is set up, until someone actually does commit some type of crime, we're somewhat limited. We could talk about resources as far as having enough resources to go after them. And then you're talking about the Internet. We get into venue, who's got authority. Like I said, we were having these calls coming in earlier in reference to calls coming from Georgia trying to, you know, act like law enforcement, taking people's money online. And so, for instance, like here with the Franklin County Sheriff's Office, I have no jurisdictional authority in the state of Georgia. So, I mean, there's just a variety of issues that unfortunately prevent us from being able to do that.
Okay, Daniel, thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, Craigslist also has a built-in way for people to flag things that look suspicious. And they want people to do that. And it's interesting. Every Craigslist is local. So there's a Craigslist for Columbus. And some Craigslists, you can tell the people who participate in the Craigslist are really on guard, and they flag things. And in other Craigslists, people don't seem to be paying much attention. So it's a little bit of sort of crowdsourced security as well, because law enforcement can't be everywhere.
Susan Joyce, how has Craigslist changed over the years?
Well, they've put up a lot more warnings. I was noticing yesterday they now have a link to the Ohio Attorney General Consumer Complaints Office. And they've added the two-way mail relays. They put up just a slug of warnings, and they seem to be trying within their own kind of limitations, because they can't accept liability for everything that everybody posts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of like law enforcement, there's not a whole lot they can do.
Preemptively,
exactly.
Sarah in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to share that I am very aware of all the things that are going on the Internet now, that I've started advertising as a massage therapist online. I'm sure Sheriff Scott knows about the human trafficking that goes on within that category. And so, you know, from everything from, I have to make sure I put certain words I couldn't put in my paragraph, you know, whether it be young, I couldn't put the word young in my ad.
Mm-hmm.
But also the close calls that I've had with potential customers that have not been in the best interest of actually getting a massage. So it's kind of scary to now see that world.
So you're a real massage therapist.
Yes.
But that's a code word for other activities.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. And correct. I really hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's correct.
What are some other code words, Sheriff Scott? And Sarah, thanks a lot and good luck. Stay safe.
Well, one of the things that if I would sit here and tell you the code words, my guys would not be happy with that because
okay.
we do monitor those sites. So stuff that they do, if you're a professional and you are legit like Sarah, then you're aware of what those are. People out there who are not as professional and are trying to lure people into a specific type, they use specific code words, and my guys and the task force will then look through there to address, and then you never know. The person coming to visit you may be one of our officers.
Susan Joyce, I mean, without revealing the code words, because we don't want to blow anyone's cover there on that score, but how do people learn about the code words and learn to advertise in a safe way so that they're not attracting these shady folks that Sarah was worried about?
Well, I would say, you know, spend some time on Craigslist and look through the ads. See the ads that you would respond to and the ads that you would avoid. I mean, I was going through the Columbus Craigslist this morning, and most of what I saw there looked legitimate, but, you know, several looked a little kind of questionable. And just because there wasn't much information about what the job was or who the employer was, you know, so if you're a legitimate business, show that you're a legitimate business. Put your address there. They have a map application, so they will link to your location on their map. Put your business phone number. Put the link to your website. Make yourself look as much like a legitimate business as you can, because the scammers typically don't do that.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Adam in Columbus, you're on the air. You say you use Craigslist safely.
I do. I'm actually a massage therapist also, and I do not advertise on Craigslist for those exact reasons. I use Facebook.
Okay.
But I have bought vehicles on Craigslist, and I always have the sellers meet me at a bank and do the transaction at the bank branch. And then I also, when I sell items on Craigslist, I have people meet me in public places where there's cameras, and I usually bring a friend with me just to make sure everything's going to be safe.
You sound like you're doing it all right. That's very good. Buddy, have the, you know, the buddy system and things like in the location. You're doing the things right. Very good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had reason, Adam, to say, boy, I'm glad I had somebody with me?
No, actually, I've been lucky in that respect, but I have had people call me. I was selling some subwoofers, and they did not seem legitimate. They wanted me to meet them at their location, and they weren't okay with the locations that I had in mind. And I was, you know, just felt like that was a red flag and ended up not meeting them. So
okay.
I would recommend not putting a phone number in a Craigslist listing. Use the email, because if you put the phone number there, someone can possibly find your location through the phone number.
Okay, they can find your location through the phone number, but then we were talking earlier about email addresses can be dangerous, too, to be giving out.
They can. I mean, you can go through the Craigslist email relay,
okay,
which basically anonymizes the email address on both ends. You can also just set up an email account on Gmail or something. They're
mm-hmm.
free, and use that for your online Craigslist transactions.
Okay. Adam, thanks a lot for that call. What are some other red flags? Adam was talking about red flags. Susan Joyce, can you talk about some others?
Well, one of the things that I recommend people do is you see the job posting and the job looks legit, and there's a company name associated with it. Google the company name. If all you find associated with the company name are job postings, then there's something wrong, because any legitimate business has to also advertise their services. So if all they're doing is hiring people, then, you know, that doesn't feel right. They should have a real presence on the web and a real business somewhere.
Sheriff Zach Scott, we were talking earlier about resources, and that's one issue. And ultimately, the crime on the internet, and Susan Joyce, correct me if you think I'm wrong, I just see it just growing because it's a growing concern. How do you see your resources and your office changing to address this growing need going forward?
We're probably going to have to do more task force, as I see it, state and local, and probably even federal at some point as this thing continues. That way our arms can reach a little bit further, and that way it's more of a force multiplier when you have several organizations involved, like from the Attorney General's office to, you know, the state and the federal. The only way we're going to be able to reach these is put together task force all the time. That's what I see as in the future of how we're going to do it. And obviously, we're going to have to get better with technology. The technology, like I said, we got with the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force is phenomenal. And probably at some point, we're going to have to go down that same road with these Craigslist-type situations.
What kind of technology do you use for that?
We have softwares that we're able to watch and monitor. And I mean, I've been in the task force office, and they can stand there and show me on the, I mean, you already see this, it looks like DEFCON 6 or something. I don't know. It's just all the monitors are going, and they're watching as these different websites do peer-to-peer, and they can stand there and tell me that it's when a child pornography website, or I guess, emails are going back and forth, photographs, things of that nature. They can actually watch them through the technology they got and say, okay, here we got downloading right now. This is pornography. And they can actually watch all this stuff going on through the technology, and they're constantly going to school and getting better at it. So I don't know the percentages of crimes. That when I say crimes, I mean real crimes, like someone not maybe showing the right type of car and then someone trying to buy it or something like that. I don't know if that's a crime or just someone is massaging their information, embellishing a little bit, versus the numbers of real crimes compared to how much activity is really going on. I don't know the numbers on that. Maybe Susan knows the numbers. I don't know.
I wish I did.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of people that use Craigslist that walk away happy and say, oh, you know, good job. So again, I don't know the percentages, but we're just going to have to get savvy with technology, and then we're just going to have to join forces and work together as teams. We just can't do this individually.
And I think consumers need to get smarter.
Absolutely.
We've been too gullible, and as gullible as we've been, that's encouraged them. And I think with what's going on as far as the economy is concerned, we've got more human predators out there interested in taking advantage of anything they can find.
Well, yeah, like this show right now. This is educating people, and you have to do it more than once. It's like it's training that we do in law enforcement. It's repetition. I probably probably at least once a month we get people coming in and want to do interviews, obviously for the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, about going over safety issues, what do parents need to be aware of. Same thing with Craigslist type situations, is like shows like this. This is, we're going to have more of this and be repetitive with it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mary in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, good morning. The notice I saw on Craigslist involved employment. They want people to transcribe sound files. Just now I was going back on Craigslist. I don't see it listed. My question was whether anyone has found any fraudulent activity attached to that.
I have seen some of those that I didn't pursue. I didn't research, but they looked kind of fishy to me.
Could you, Susan Joyce, maybe describe what we're talking about here?
Well, it's a posting that you find, and there's usually very little information about who the employer is, so it's just sort of a generic posting, and they want to hire people to transcribe tapes. Now, there's software that does that pretty well, so why are they hiring people is one of my questions. I've never actually, applied for one of those jobs to see what was going on. But my concern and sort of my assumption has been that those people are after Social Security numbers and bank account numbers. You know, they will, quote, unquote, hire you. I did have an email discussion with a young woman who got one of those jobs and never got paid. And I said to her, you really need to check to see what's going on with your Social Security number and your bank account, because I don't think what you did was a real job. I think they were just sort of keeping you busy while they did whatever they were going to do. And she never got back to me, so I don't know what happened to her. But that kind of thing, you know, at least raises a yellow flag. I would want to know a lot more about who the business was, where they were, and I would ask for references.
Well, Sheriff Zach Scott, I want to thank you for joining us. I know we have to let you go now, but thank
my
you
pleasure.
So much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too.
You too.
And Mary in Clintonville, thanks a lot for that call. We would like to hear from our listeners. If you're using Craigslist, tell us how you use it safely. Tell us if you've had problems. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll continue our conversation about how to use internet advertising safely with Susan Joyce, author of Finding a Job on Craigslist, and also coming up, the public affairs coordinator for the FBI's Cincinnati division. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Craigslist is an advertising service, an online advertising service that is self-policing and mostly free of charge, attracting a variety of users, including human traffickers, drug dealers, and financial scammers. For example, while the adult services section has been removed, human traffickers are using other categories on Craigslist to sell their victims. Also, prescription drugs are available and firearms are there for sale. No ID or background check needed. Still with us is blogger and author of Finding a Job on Craigslist, Your Guide to Safe and Effective Job Search on Craigslist, Susan Joyce. And joining us now to discuss criminal activity that starts online is Todd Lindgren. He's Public Affairs Coordinator for the FBI's Cincinnati Division. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
How does the FBI work to stop these kinds of operations on sites like Craigslist? Do you do something preemptive? Are you tracking them? What is your method?
Well, it really depends on the types of illegal activity that might be out there on the internet. We look at all different kinds of things, from the frauds and schemes to the human trafficking and violent crimes against individuals as well. So each area has a little different method that we use to investigate these.
We were wondering earlier how much crime actually is occurring on the internet by way of these advertising sites like Craigslist. Have you enumerated that at all? Have we quantified it?
You know, I don't have those numbers. What we recommend is people report any kind of fraud or scam to the Internet Crime Complaint Center at ic3.gov, and they really act as a clearinghouse for us where they bundle a lot of these, look for common links, and refer them to the appropriate law enforcement agencies. So they may have numbers, but I don't have them at this time.
Are criminals on these sites getting smarter, or are they still setting off alarm bells with illegal activity? Are there patterns that you follow, or are they always one step ahead?
You know, where there's money, criminals are always going to be present, and that includes the internet. And, you know, Craigslist is just one of many sites used by criminals to further their schemes.
Right.
And I think what we really need to do is increase our cyber street smarts. You know, we all want to be street smart. Our parents taught us to stay away from strangers, to keep our doors locked, and gave us other helpful tips. Well, in today's digital world, what we really need to do is boost our cyber street smarts, because criminals are using the internet to take advantage of us. So, you know, by this I really mean that we need to take time to look carefully at things that seem too good to be true. And chances are, if there's proposals out there that allow you to make money with little effort, then it really probably is a scam. And, you know, take your time to research these things carefully, and you won't be lured in by the promise of easy money.
Susan Joyce, we talked about the 2011 case where the 52-year-old man and his teenage accomplice lured the four men to Southeast Ohio. Three of them wound up dead. Were you surprised that it had gone that far?
I was, and frankly, I felt bad for everybody, although it was maybe a good lesson for the rest of us to pay attention to.
And Todd Lindgren, is there any way for law enforcement to track for those kinds of things? They appear so random.
That's a difficult question. The Ohio Craigslist killer case, you know, was an unusual case where people were attracted by a offer for a $300 a week job at a ranch in rural Ohio, and the people had good intentions, obviously, when they're following up on these advertisements, and it's sometimes impossible to predict, you know, who's on the other side of that ad and what their intentions are.
Susan, any suggestions? Back to the if it sounds too good to be true.
If it sounds too good to be true, as we've all learned, you know, be suspicious. The other side of it, I think, is, you know, be a little bit of a sleuth. Put Google to work for you. You know, ask who the person is. Ask for some proof that this is a legitimate organization. You know, we get references for a lot of things before you hand over some essential information about yourself, even though it might feel kind of pushy when you're looking for a job. It's still, I think, smart to be cautious because that's just the safest way to operate. But put Google to work. I mean, I always Google phone numbers. I always Google names. If it's a legitimate business phone number, Google will show you the business address and other information about the business. If there's nothing available on the phone number, then, you know, be cautious.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest, Susan Joyce, blogger and author of Finding a Job on Craigslist, and also Todd Lindgren. He's public affairs coordinator for the FBI Cincinnati Division. Listener, are you using Craigslist or another online advertising site? If so, how do you use it safely? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Angela in Canton, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thanks. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, so I was calling because I buy and sell, and I do a lot of other things on Craigslist almost every week. And for tips for selling, I never give out my name or my phone number, and I always try to be as descriptive, and especially with the little things that I do sell. If the buyers are interested, I would always meet them at, you know, a nearby gas station that's well lit and that I know has security cameras out front. So if anything happens, you know, I'm somewhere public and other people can see me and it's on camera if they try to, you know, steal or run away. And then also there's a lot of people that email who say they're interested but never, you know, end up showing to meet you or just are flaky.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like buying, I buy furniture a lot and I also buy a lot of other smaller items. So going to someone's house is always worrisome for my family because, you know, I live by myself, so I don't really have someone to go with me. So to always make someone aware of the exact location of where you're going, to forward along any email strands you have. So that way, you know, if I happen to go missing or if something happens, someone knows where I am or where my last known location was.
Okay, Angela, thank you for those suggestions. Todd Lindgren, thoughts about that?
I think those are definitely good suggestions. Anytime you can meet in a public place, bring others with you, let people know where you're going, when you plan to be back. Those are all very good suggestions.
Susan Joyce?
I absolutely concur. The thing that runs through my mind is there are some kind of job scams we haven't talked about.
Okay.
The one that was really pretty rampant a couple of years ago, there were a lot of ads for jobs at Google, or at least they claimed to be at Google. And they were getting a lot of people responding because, of course, a lot of people would love to work for Google. And you needed to really dig into the job posting to see if it was from Google. And, in fact, when you did some digging, you discovered it wasn't. And that's, you know, that's sort of the other side of this. And certainly these kind of scams are not limited to Craigslist. You find them on regular job boards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful about who the employer is and verify that the employer is a real employer before you actually send all the private information that's on a resume to that person or to that organization.
Are there other places you can post a resume that people can go to besides having to do it directly by way of a Craigslist solicitation?
Well, sure. One of my favorite ways, the biggest job board, I think, in the world right now is a site called Indeed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Indeed resumes where, in fact, what Indeed does is it blocks access to the contact information because it makes employers pay them for the contact information. So it's a revenue source for them. And at the same time, it's a way for someone to post a very, very public resume pretty safely, as long as they don't try and make an end run around Indeed's protection of their contact information.
Todd Lindgren, we've talked about jobs, fraudulent jobs, theft, human trafficking. Two other categories have popped up, drugs and firearms. Do you have any sense about how much firearms are being sold, bought and sold across the internet by way of places like Craigslist?
Regarding firearms, I really don't. That falls more under the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms, and we don't usually get involved in those.
Mm-hmm.
It's more under their agency. Drug-wise, one of the bigger things we see are counterfeit drugs, where knockoff prescription drugs are often manufactured overseas. They don't have any standards, and they're sold online at discounted prices. So I'd be cautioning people if they see prescription drugs or other pharmaceuticals that they may use advertised online on sites like this, that they'd be very cautious because lots of times those are counterfeit.
And as far as the guns go, you don't directly, that's not a jurisdiction of yours, but is it something that the FBI would be interested in just by virtue of the fact that guns are used in crimes?
It's certainly something that we're aware of, along with the other concerns we have about some of the internet criminal activity.
Uma in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Uma.
Hi, Anne. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hi, you all. I have a comment, though. 3 weeks ago, I was on Craigslist. I was trying to look for a job. You know, those jobs that they said you work from home and they paid you about $600 or $700 a week?
Mm-hmm.
The problem was I tried to go online. There was no phone number or anything. Instead, let me see if I will be able to get it. And I started doing the process on my laptop. But they asked me this question, if I was on the computer that is connected directly to my modem. Then I said no. Then they said, well, I should come back if I am connected on the computer that is connected directly to my modem, because they need direct access to my modem, so they will be able to troubleshoot whenever I have problem with selling their product. They will be able to troubleshoot directly and help me solve whatever problem it is I might be having. I did not go through with it, though, because it seemed really kind of fishy, but I just want to throw the question to the lady. I'm sorry, I forgot her name on
here. Susan Joyce.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joyce. If she have had anything about this kind of a problem whatsoever.
Susan Joyce?
That's very fishy. I suspect more what they wanted was they wanted direct access to her computer so they could install some malware or something that had nothing to do with the job. So it was very smart of her to back off from that one. That's not any sort of a sensible requirement from an employer.
Okay. Uma, thanks a lot for that call. Hang in there. We have an email from Miles. He writes, I've found jobs, roommates, gear, and all sorts of stuff for years on Craigslist. I've only been burned a couple times in all that time. The biggest thing I see is to watch out for people who don't get right to business, folks who dilly-dally or don't seem focused on the whatever the original topic project are, at best a wasting your time. Things that don't make sense immediately are probably either fakes or people who don't know what they're doing. Sometimes I make people repeat themselves frequently to see if their story stays the same over time. Anybody who doesn't pass all three of these tests right away, I stop talking to immediately. Todd Lindgren, that sounds like just being smarter consumers, as you mentioned right at the outset.
That's right. I think Miles has done a good job in raising his cyber street smarts. But he's right. Sometimes these scammers are out there and they have postings on all kinds of sites and different cities and things like that. So they might be not as responsive to questions from someone like Miles, who's kind of probing a little deeper. I know it's the same as these old Nigerian schemes that we saw that have been going on for decades. They send out mass amounts of emails and faxes and things like that, just waiting for one or two people to respond. And they're often tied up answering different things, so they might not get right back to you, or they might not be able to answer your questions adequately.
You know, Todd, a lot of us want our elderly parents to get on the internet, to use email, to get an Amazon account or whatever it is for their Kindle and that sort of a thing. But they're not necessarily, they may be able to punch the right buttons, but like I said, they're a big target, too.
That's true. Seniors can be victims. They're often very trusting and maybe not as inclined to be aware about the people out there who are trying to make them become victims of fraud. And that's why we tell people just to kind of slow down, research things. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is. So ask questions, take your time, don't rush into anything, and it can save you some money and heartache down the road.
Susan Joyce, what should be on or off your resume when you are sending it out over the internet by way of a Craigslist or a similar type of site?
Well, if you're employed, I would definitely keep my employer's name off.
Okay.
And if your employer has a unique job title and that's your job title, I would change the job title to be something that's more generic. And that's if you're employed, because employers don't trust employees who are job seeking. If you're not employed, I would certainly, and even if you are employed, I would certainly keep my home address off. I would keep my home email address off. I would keep my home phone number off. I have spoken with a number of job seekers who get sort of the throwaway cell phones, and they use the throwaway cell phone for their job search, because that can't be traced to a specific location. But I would never, for years I've recommended against people putting their home addresses on. Now, you can put the city or the region.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, you know, Central Ohio or whatever, so that an employer knows where you're located. But they don't need to know your street address.
Todd Lindgren, we've been talking about Craigslist a lot today. Are there other sites, online advertising sites, that we should be aware of that can have similar problems for similar reasons?
There certainly are. Craigslist is just really one of many sites used by criminals to further their schemes. I don't want to, you know, list too many of them, but I think that your listeners could probably come across them pretty easily. So
mm-hmm.
just any site you visit, you know, use your cyber street smarts and be very cautious.
And Susan Joyce, can you give us some suggestions of alternatives if people don't want to use Craigslist, or what you think are, valid options for them out there?
Well, I like a site like LinkedIn, where it's more person-to-person connecting. And the other thing that LinkedIn does is when you submit a resume to an employer, what they like to do often is they'll Google you. And the LinkedIn profile usually pops up pretty quickly. And what that gives them the opportunity to do is they can then compare the resume that you sent them privately with what you're telling the world publicly on your LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn also has jobs and it has groups. There's a number of ways you can connect with a job there. And of course there's Indeed that's got giant database of jobs. But just sitting and applying for jobs, even though it may feel productive, it really isn't. The best way to do is to connect with people.
Network. Susan Joyce, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Susan Joyce, she's a blogger and the author of Finding a Job on Craigslist, Your Guide to Safe and Effective Job Search on Craigslist. And also Todd Lindgren, thank you as well for joining us today.
Thank you.
Todd Lindgren, he's Public Affairs Coordinator for the FBI's Cincinnati Division. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.